Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to... I added a little bit of spice. Welcome back to The Morning Toast, everyone. Happy Monday. Hope you had an amazing weekend. It's sadly come to an end, you know. That's what I've learned as an adult. It's that all good things, including the weekends, must come to an end
it's
at some point.
It's so sad when that happens. It really is. But in reflecting on this past weekend, I personally had a great one. I feel like I got the most out of my weekend. You know, I did so many different things, sort of. I watched a lot of different stuff. I saw some different people. And I feel like it was a hearty, good-ass weekend. Good balanced weekend, exactly.
I feel like that's also, like, one of the struggles of my adulthood is figuring out how to balance, like, wanting to do things on the weekend that, like, I want to do, like, catch up on stuff, see people, but also, like, not be hungover. Like, how do you balance that?
No, that is, it's a tricky thing. It is. So I think eventually you just start drinking on Fridays instead of Saturdays so that, like, you have more time to heal.
Okay, like, I'm getting there, but I'm struggling right now in the balancing act.
I'm so sorry for you.
And I feel like that's a common problem amongst us 26-year-olds.
It is. I remember when I was 26.
Yeah.
I was struggling between wanting to watch stuff all day and this little sweet man.
Oh, my God.
The sweetest thing.
Bruno's back from camp.
We got him on Saturday, and he is just a joy. And it was so nice to, like, bring him home to his new place,
right,
which, like, we really got for him. Mm-hmm. And we designed with him in mind in every corner. And I just, it's just been so nice having him. Like, I feel like when I didn't have him for the week, like, I almost forgot that he existed in my life, you know? It was like a dream.
Yeah.
And now that he's back, we're just in heaven. We watched Housewives together last night. He's just the cutest, sweetest thing. And it was really a great weekend because of the new apartment, getting Bruno back. I finished Redhead's book. We recorded Redhead's. My new phone. I watched so much content. And it was really productive in that sense.
So for our TV recap, we're going to talk about Potomac and Real Housewives of Atlanta started last night. But really quickly, just random things that I watched over the weekend, just like that aren't official enough for the official TV recap segment.
Yes, I have some as well.
I watched SNL with Morgan Wallen.
I watched most of it too.
I have to say, like, and this might be like a real lightning rod when I say it, but like Jason Bateman, it's like so averagely like everything. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just so unremarkable in so many ways. And I was like just surprised that he even like got the gig, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think he would even admit that himself when he said in his monologue, like, he was on 15 years ago and
they never asked him to come back.
Like, I think that is who he is.
Yeah, no, that's true. And he plays characters that are like also so unremarkable.
But yeah, but someone has to play that guy.
Yeah, but that guy doesn't get on SNL. Like, that's why I just thought it was really, I thought his monologue was like, so subpar.
I mean,
like,
I fast-forwarded through it once I realized that it stunk.
He told one story about the monkey.
That was
the whole monologue.
And then I started fast-forwarding.
And I get that, like, certain people have longer monologues. His was, like, 4 minutes. Like, I think the average time is, like, 6 or 7. It was just, like, so meh.
Yeah, I agree. I was there for Morgan Wallen.
Me too.
And he didn't disappoint. Though I do feel like they don't know how to do acoustics on Country Stars because, like, the music's always too loud and you can't hear their voice.
I thought the exact same thing, even though that's not an SNL problem. That's, like, they bring all their own band. Like, it's them.
I just don't feel like they're equipped for, like, country phenomenon.
I just have to say, like, of course it was really unfortunate the way things happened with Morgan Wallen the first time around. But I feel like it was almost better this way because he got his own skit and, like, he really made more of an impact than if he was just, like, any other performer.
Yeah, and it became, like, a joke in the culture, and it's just a funny joke.
And I actually think that the skit that they did for him was, like, so funny.
I thought it was a funny idea, but the execution wasn't that funny.
So Morgan is obviously like not an actor, and his timing was just off because he would like make the best jokes when the audience was laughing and like you couldn't hear him. So he had like this funny Dave Chappelle joke that literally no one could hear because everyone was laughing from the previous joke said by Bowen Yang or something.
Got it.
So it was good. I mean, I have such a low bar for SNL. When they make me like...
No, but honestly, last night's or Saturday night's episode, like, I don't think it reached the bar.
Oh, like, I actually
the bar
giggled.
Is so low. No, I don't think it hit. I watched a few of the sketches and they started out funny, like the one with the girls sleepover in the period. I was like, this is going to kill it. Like,
that was so funny.
This concept is hysterical.
Also, those two cabaret singers doing outdoor dining. Like, I thought that was really funny.
I fast forwarded once I realized it wasn't funny.
Oh, I thought it was funny. So I thought it had like moments.
I didn't think there was, like, I literally think it was, like, the worst of the worst.
Kate McKinnon is just, like, she really must be so tired from just, like, carrying this entire franchise on her back. Keenan, too.
Yeah, the period thing, like.
She was being so funny.
But I felt like they didn't land the plane.
No, me neither.
And it was such a good concept.
It was such a good concept, and then it was, like, I am Spartacus. Like, it was all of our periods. But it actually would have been funny if it was just, like, not Kate McKinnon's, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, it
no,
was just,
and like, when she got up, she did have, like, period on her butt. Like, no, it would have been so funny.
It was such a funny sketch. Like, and honestly, even though I was just, like, railing on him, Jason Bateman was the perfect dad, like, for that situation.
100%.
So he's never going to be, like, the star of a sketch because he's just so mediocre.
Yeah, I agree. I also watched Happiest Season, the new Hulu Christmas movie with Kristen Stewart, Dan Levy, and I would totally recommend it.
Okay.
It started out like a little corny Christmas movie, and I was like, I was surprised. Right, my favorite, but I was surprised because like Kristen Stewart is so artsy.
She's so elevated. The fact that she even took this role, I think she just wanted to do to like further, you know, diversity in like the Christmas movie because there's not many like lesbian Christmas movies.
100%.
But as an actor, she's like so above it.
No, but like by the end of the movie as a whole, like the end was so strong and like so good, and there was so much, and I feel like she really didn't. She's such a great actress. Like you always forget.
I never forget.
No, like you know, because of Twilight and I guess other things that she's
been
in. No,
but you don't know because of Twilight. You think someone who's in that movie is like a shitty actress, but then you watch it and you realize it's literally like the Sistine Chapel, like a true piece of art.
Yes, no, and she's just like she was being a great actress. Dan Levy was in it, and he was really great too. And Victor Garber's in it, and you know he's only in like the most premium content. What a cast!
Victor Garber,
Alison Brie is in it.
Ugh, I'm sorry. Anytime she's on my screen, like I hate the thing that I'm watching. That's why it was hard in Mad Men. I didn't know she was in it, and had I known, I might not have watched it. Like seriously,
I thought she was good in this movie. I don't think she'll bother you in this.
Don't you think she has like just really like annoying energy?
Yes, but like sometimes she plays a character who you're supposed to be annoyed by. And
right, like in How to Be Single, it's like she was so annoying in that
movie.
Oh
my god!
Yeah,
stop,
the girl with the laptop in the bar.
Stop.
Like
don't.
Obviously she ended up with a guy who owned the bar. Like it was just so silly.
So yeah, that's like the pinnacle. But this was good. It was good. You should watch it. And it definitely gets you in the spirit of the season.
Well, I'm having no trouble getting into the spirit of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you watch before we dive in?
No, I feel like that's it. And then Housewives. So yeah.
Yeah, it was a big Housewives night. I have a lot to say.
Yes, so much to say. And we'll get to it right after we deliver the past five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Yes, Jackie, but as this morning when I was brushing my teeth getting ready for the show, I thought to myself, man, I can't wait to get on and read my 60-second read about Brush, one of my favorite products. What is Brush, you ask? I'm so glad you did. It is our favorite product here at the Morning Toast, the best electric toothbrush on the market. And the best part of it is that it doesn't cost a crazy amount of money, and it's super cute and sleek looking, so you don't mind like having it up on your counter. It has like this magnetic holder that's just really sleek and fabulous. Brushing your teeth can be a chore, but brushing them is fun, and it's 100 times as effective. Brush cleans your teeth at 31,000 movements a minute. Manual toothbrushes tap out at just 300 movements a minute, but many electric toothbrushes are barely a step up for manual ones, and some of them do a good job, but they cost over $200. Well, Brush is different because they deliver premier sonic wave technology without the markups that big electric toothbrushes tack on. So I've been brushing, for... I want to say like 6 months now.
Yeah.
And it's just really elevated my, obviously, teeth situation, but also like my counter situation. Because yes. I try really hard not to have like a lot of clutter on my counter, even though I use so many products. And the brush is just like, it's a perfect vibe. It's so sleek. It's magnetic. I've seen ones that have like huge bases that you have to charge. It's just, it's everything of the sort.
So sleek.
And when you get the kit, it includes the electric toothbrush, plus three brush heads, a magnetic charging station, and a sleek travel case. The brush also has 6 modes of cleaning, which is daily, white, gentle, gum, max, and tongue. Get 15% off of Bruche when you use our promo code TOAST at Bruche.com. Again, you can try it 90 days risk-free and get a 2-year warranty at Bruush.com, promo code TOAST. Bruche.com, promo code TOAST.
Love it. Sign on, get your teeth right. And your gums and your tongue. They and do have a setting for tongue.
Yes, it feels good.
Okay, first story, some really happy bebe news. Chris Lane and Lauren Bushnell Lane are expecting their first child. She said, I had a funny feeling I was pregnant. So Chris and Lauren Lane announced on Instagram last night that they are expecting a bebe. She said, a dream, except I'm not dreaming. I'm wide awake, holding your dad's hand, watching you dance around in my belly, listening to your little heartbeat. My new favorite sound, a miracle, new life, our sweet baby. Thank you, Jesus. All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory. I mean, literally, I was so happy. Like, this was just such wonderful news. I think, like, as a couple, I just, like, am obsessed with them. And they're so obsessed with each other. Like,
they are.
And this is just such great news, them, like, growing their family. And I just... I have nothing other to say than just, like, smile.
No, then smiles all around.
Yeah, and, like... I don't know. I just, like, love them. I feel a really special way about them. You know what I mean?
No, I do as well. And I just want to smile.
Yeah.
It just makes me want to smile.
A lot of people had, like, guessed this.
Yeah, because there was a picture posted around Thanksgiving that was making people speculate.
Right. And someone, like, found, of course, online, like, their baby registry. So, like, that really did give it away.
Oh.
But I don't think they, like, care. I just think they wanted to, you know, time it right.
Yeah, wait until the time was right, which... Yeah. Time was definitely right. It's a very sweet announcement.
I know. I know they have some big, big plans.
They've got some big, big plans. I wonder if there'll be a sequel to the song.
Oh, yes.
Like the song didn't, like, actually, I guess.
I got a good one. It'll be called I Got Some Big, Big Hands, because you're like a baby's little hand on your palm, and you're always like comparing sizes.
Yeah, that's good. You should
I'll send it to him. I'll send a voice note to Lauren and be like, hey, pitch this to Chris. I got some big, big hands.
She don't know.
Well, I don't know what they're having, but...
No, but maybe it's like Lauren don't know how big his hands are.
No, I think she does.
Okay, well, anyways, congrats to the happy couple. We love some bebe news.
We love some bebe news.
Where's bebe's
And I'd love
chamber?
To know who's been getting it on during quarantine,
oh,
you know?
Oh, for sure. Okay, this next story is such an interesting story. Dionne Warwick is going viral for her Twitter exchange with Chance the Rapper, also with Taylor Swift. She's tweeting at The Weeknd. So Dionne Warwick is just on Twitter this weekend.
So I think we should start at the beginning.
So yes.
Who is Dionne Warwick?
Oh, at the way beginning.
Right. Well, you and I were talking about this last night, and I actually sent you this story because I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, she sent me the story saying Dionne Warwick story tomorrow. So I went and found out what you were talking about.
So then we were FaceTiming like a little bit later, and you were like, well, why do you want to talk about it? I'm like, I don't know. I just think this woman's so funny. Like, every time I see her, like, she just, like, makes me laugh. She's, like, always causing, like, some ruckus, and she's, like... She looks, I said to you, she looks like, she looks like Whitney's dad from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And then you're like, Claudia, what are you talking about?
I said, Claudia, that's Diane Warren. I said, Dionne Warwick is Titus Andromedon.
Right.
Kimmy Schmidt.
So I've known for a while that I could not tell the difference between Diane Warren and Dionne Warwick. I knew that forever. Because it's confusing because they're both like older women in music.
DW.
And like their names are so similar. And to be honest, I was really only familiar with Diane Warren. And so anytime someone would say like Diane Warren or Dionne Warwick, like I just always assumed it was the singer songwriter, the songwriter with the black hair.
Yes.
So even in Kimmy Schmidt, when he goes on tour with Dionne Warwick, the whole time I thought he was on tour with Diane Warren. And I didn't really understand how he could be on tour with a songwriter. Like, it made no sense to me. And so, of course, in this situation as well, I too thought that it was Whitney's dad from Salt Lake City.
Got it. Well, it's legendary singer Dionne Warwick.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect. I just like really got confused.
No, and I, you know what? As I was like thinking about it last night, and I was trying to explain it to you.
And as you were explaining it to me,
I was getting confused too. I was like, am I sure about this?
It's a Chris Pine, Chris Evans situation.
Yeah. No, their names are just very similar. And I could see how your wires could get crossed.
Okay.
But this is legendary singer Dionne Warwick. She took to Twitter.
She was being hilarious.
Hilarious. To let everyone know her thoughts on certain things and some of the questions that run through her mind.
It was like someone like finally gave her the password to her Twitter because she like never has tweeted at any of these people. And then she just started going off. And the thing is, she's so well respected that like everyone responded to her.
Right. So she said, "Hi, Chance the Rapper. If you are very obviously a rapper, why did you put it in your stage name? I cannot stop thinking about this."
And she does raise valid concerns.
She does. And he said, "Sorry, I'm still freaking out that you know who I am. This is amazing. I'll be whatever you want to call me, Miss Warwick. God bless you." With heart emojis.
The respect for Miss Warwick. And because like someone could have interpreted this as like slight shade.
Yes, because when you said Dionne Warwick story tomorrow, I Googled it. And the first thing that came up was Dionne Warwick roasts Chance the Rapper in the weekend. And I was like, ooh, interesting. And then I read the tweets through a different lens from a different publication. It's like, no, she's just like being a cutie.
No, and she's like genuinely like.
Like this was not a roasting. It was question and answer.
She's asking a genuine question.
Genuine question. She also said that Holy by Justin Bieber and Chance the Rapper is one of her favorite songs right
now. She did?
Yep, she did.
By the way, it's one of my favorite songs right now too.
Holy. I know. I was actually singing it in my head this morning. Running to the altar like a track star.
I just like, I really have a special place in my Jewish heart for Christian music. Like, I just, I feel the glory.
Yeah.
You know?
The way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me.
Holy.
Okay. Also, speaking of things that we got confused and things we learned on the Morning Toast, I need to go back to Friday's episode. One of the funniest episodes of 2020.
Okay. What did we get wrong?
No, we didn't get anything wrong. We learned a lot. Uh-huh. And we learned about the pronouncing of dachshund. Dachshund. But then everyone's sending me this
Christmas sweater.
This Christmas sweater that has a picture of a dachshund and then it says dachshund through the snow.
Right.
And it's like, it's not dachshund through the snow.
No.
It's dachshund through the snow.
Yeah. And also, doxing as the name of a dog is very triggering for me. If you know, you know.
I totally agree.
I didn't even put that together on Friday.
Dachshund through
the snow. Yeah, on my way to ruin someone's life. Yeah, but I agree. The pronunciation, when we learned it on Friday as dachshund, like I fully understood, digested, appreciated, respected.
I was literally like, my mind was blown.
But then it's like obviously like a popular Christmas sweater to like, or I saw it on mugs on like different Etsy shops.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like it's like a popular phrase, dashing through the snow, with dashing spelled as dachshund, dachshund.
Yeah, but dachshund through the snow doesn't sound right. It sounds like you're ruining lives through the snow.
You're like in the winter and you're like on your way to ruin someone's life.
Right, but dachshund through the snow.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're like German and you're.
It's Christmas time in Germany. Dachshund through the snow.
On a one horse open sleigh.
Sorry, that's not funny. But what else did Dionne Warwick say?
She tweeted at The Weeknd saying, "The Weeknd is next. Why? It's not even spelled correctly." She said, "If you have the in your name, I'm coming for you. I need answers today."
But by the way, very valid point. And The Weeknd did respond?
It's not in here.
Well, so. I saw it and he was like very similar energy to Chance the Rapper.
Just like, oh my God. So grateful and excited.
Yeah. And then also she tweeted at Taylor Swift, less questions, yes. Just like showing her
support,
love.
Love and support.
And Taylor sent it back as well.
So that's what you missed in Dionne Warwick news this weekend.
And we will be sure to keep you updated on the Dionne Warren, Dionne Warwick, never ending confusion. Right now I'm clear on who's who, but if enough time passes, and I don't end up talking about Dionne Warwick or Dionne Warren for like another like maybe 2 months, we'll start back at square one. So yeah. I'm just warning you.
I feel like you'll talk about Dionne Warren again with like Grammys, Oscars, because she's always nominated for Best Original Song.
Yeah. Well, so when Dionne Warwick tweeted at Taylor Swift, she was like, I think she said like, I would love to like write or something. So I thought it was the songwriter, and I'm like, oh my God, these two are going to write the best score for a movie. Like,
yeah.
But then it's Dionne Warwick, and I'm sure her and Taylor can make magic as well.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Okay, next up, this news is really for you, because Matthew Perry is promoting his friend's merch line.
What?
He has
his friends as in his, like, person?
Italicized.
Oh, italicized, okay.
Oh, no.
I thought you meant, like, one of his buddies. Like a pal.
That would be the worst story ever.
Yeah, I was confused.
Oh my God, that's so funny. No, okay. Matthew Perry made a line of merchandise based off of Friends, and he's using his fiance to model some of the swag.
Which is also an update. He is engaged to a 29-year-old.
Oh, update. And she's wearing a shirt that said, could this be any more of a t-shirt? Does that mean something to you?
It does, but that's like a really bad use of the joke.
Oh, okay. In a second.
Could this be any more of a t-shirt? Like, what?
I don't know. It sounds like they said it's a spin on Perry's character.
It is. No,
his catchphrase.
Yeah, his catchphrase was like, could I be wearing any more clothes? Like, it was just, but like, and so I have started to use, like, I say sometimes, like, could I be any uglier?
Yeah. You
know? And could I be more obsessed with myself? You know, I don't understand the use on this t-shirt. Obviously, it's a t-shirt. Like, that's just a bad adaptation of the joke.
Okay. In another post, she's wearing a black hat that has the phrase, what is this, a baseball cap? What do you think about that one?
I don't get it. What is this, a baseball cap? Excuse me, I've seen every episode of Friends like 35 times.
I know.
And this stupid merch line is like testing me.
Yeah.
I've never heard that joke in my life.
What is this, a baseball cap?
No clue.
Well, no, I'm sure it's like, what is this, blank from Friends, and then he put in baseball cap because that's what it's on. What is this, a blank?
Okay.
Am I bringing anything up for you?
It's like so vague. Like, what is this? That's not a joke. Like.
Okay, so suffice to say, like, you're not going to be buying.
Well, so his fiance
is a literary manager.
Is the model.
No, she was just taking pictures on the gram.
Oh, okay.
She was just supporting her fiance.
And her fiance knows this person, how, who made the line of merch?
It's Chandler's merch.
He's making
Friends merch.
That's pathetic.
And his fiance is supporting his friend's merch.
Okay. Okay. This is all very confusing. But I'm seeing now, Matthew Perry has a line of Friends merch?
Yes.
That's devastating.
Like, and those are two of the pieces. His fiance is, quote unquote, modeling them on his Instagram. It's like when you're, this is how People Magazine is.
Right. No, they're modeling it like Margot models for our merch.
Yeah.
You know, I totally get it. But this article was confusing. I'm not going to lie.
I'm so sorry.
And
on me.
Yeah. I'm really now more fixated on the fact like Matthew Perry has like a merch line from Friends. Like, they literally make, without moving a finger, between like all the streaming services and the syndication, they make like $20 million a year off of Friends. And that's after working on Friends for 8 years and making, you know, $1 million an episode. So it's like, just sit and enjoy, like, your money.
Yeah. No, this is definitely, like, a strange move. And now I'm seeing another shirt that he made that says, could this be any more of a t-shirt? But above it has, like, three cartoons of Chandler Bing.
Yeah, I see. Like, Chandler's dancing. That's just, like, honestly, like, dead ass. Like, not good merch. And Friends has, like, done so many collabs. Like, the Friends brand.
I feel like this is, like, sullying the Friends name.
I feel like this is, like, the worst piece of merch I've seen. I've seen like official Friends merch and unofficial. Like,
yeah.
And they've done makeup collabs we were just talking about. And I feel like a lot of it is very good. Like the branding's always really strong. I'm just like surprised because I'm not understanding these shirts.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Where can you buy them?
You can buy them like at the link in bio.
And what is the link in bio? I'm just like curious if it's like.
I'm going to go.
It's like a merch company. Is it like.
It's represent.com/store/Matthew Perry.
Oh my God.
Question mark KW equals not found.
Okay. Yeah. That's a merch company that I used for my tour. Like why are Matthew
Perry. Well, there's so many things. I mean, they're pretty much like the same catchphrases.
But like on different items.
There's a mug. There's that hat, sweatshirt.
I wonder if it's like a part of his deal because usually you have to pay a licensing fee to use like the name and likeness of characters and like TV shows. But maybe he's allowed to make it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing here other than, like, knowing the joke. A t-shirt that says, could this be any more of a t-shirt?
I guess. Does he use the Friends logo anywhere?
No.
Oh, so maybe this is, like,
he went
unofficial.
Rogue.
Oh, man, that's so, like, lame.
Okay.
Not gonna lie.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story brought to you by Everlane?
Yes.
Thank God. You know what, Jackie? Can I ask you a question?
Please ask me anything. I'm an open book.
What makes a pair of jeans or a comfortable sweater perfect?
I mean, I would say there's a few things.
But if when it fits just right. Your clothes shouldn't just match your style or the shape of your body, but what you really care about. And Everlane makes finding those perfect everyday pieces easy. Everlane isn't like most clothing brands, and not just because they bypass traditional retail markups. They partner with the world's most ethical factories to make quality clothing with radically transparent pricing. Sustainability is literally woven into every piece of fabric Everlane uses, from natural fibers to recycled synthetics. Simple, timeless pieces that are comfortable, durable, and flattering to all body types, from cashmere to cotton, from slim to curvy. It's really just a fabulous place to find like your everyday uniform staples that like you can feel good about knowing they'll last you a long time because they're made really well, and they come from ethical factories. It's just like truly the best of both worlds. If you're searching for the perfect pair of skinny jeans, the kind that you wear all week and hope no one notices, Everlane has that for you.
That's literally us.
Yep, dirty jeans 5 days in a row. From skinny to relaxed, slim to athletic, you can find the perfect cut that fits your form just right. And what's cool is that you can fit your choose your stretch level, like in your material, so you know I'm getting the stretchiest. They have vintage style with original with just a hint of stretching, or a body-hugging authentic stretch, which is definitely the product for me. Denim isn't the only essential that they carry, because with winter on the way, cozy loungewear is another must-have. And everyone's looking for like the coziest loungewear for quarantine. We're going into another lockdown. And Everlane like really is the products that you need, because they have the perfect sweatshirts, cardigans, sweaters, tees, and comfy footwear to keep you cozy all season. From alpaca and merino wool to terry knit and 100% recycled cashmere. Perfect for gifting or keep it all to yourself. Go to everlane.com/toast and sign up for 10% off your first order, plus free shipping. And you can get easy returns within 60 days of your ship date. So again, if you go to everlane.com/toast, you can use 10% off your first order, but only if you go to the link everlane.com/toast and sign up.
Love it. Okay, next story, some reality TV news. Jax and Brittany are exiting Vanderpump Rules.
This was quite shocking.
Was it?
Like, just the fact that they actually left or got fired. That's also, like, the other...
That's what's confusing.
I've seen a few people report that it was fired, but their social media posts...
make it seem like they're stepping exiting. Back. But they also said that it was very difficult to share. They said, although this is difficult to share, Brittany and I will not be returning for another season of Vanderpump Rules. We're excited to take this time to focus on our growing family and share with you our new endeavors.
Yeah.
Bravo, Evolution, and our Vanderpump castmates will always remain close to our hearts. Brittany posted a very similar statement. TMZ used the word canned to describe mm-hmm. their exit, but I don't know. It's confusing.
I saw Variety that said they were fired, and Variety's like really like TV.
Like industry oriented. Yeah,
but I mean, who knows? At the end of the day, like in terms of programming and like the cast, like this isn't surprising, because there was already like a big gap between like the new and the young people, and now like more people over quarantine getting pregnant, Stassi no longer being around, Chrissy no longer being around. Like there's just like, I feel as though there's too much of a divide now, and Bravo's probably going to stick with like the younger generation and like invest the show in them. But now it's like, for who remains, like Sheena and Lala remain, but they like always gave me young generation energy. Like they've always kind of been in the middle.
Sheena last season like opened up the path for her to be with the younger generation. Lala is younger than the rest of them, but
I just meant like Lala was really on with those older girls.
She was, but she came on in the middle. Like the argument could be made for her to leave she with could everyone
stay, but also she her and Sheena are both pregnant.
Yeah, so I don't know if they will.
We need another like Vanderbump show.
Totally. And then also Tom and Ariana and Katie, I think, will stay on the show as like the owners of TomTom and
as like Lisa's.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I see the path to like how the show reiterates itself, but when are they going to start filming? They still haven't.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I wouldn't be surprised if next we report like they're never going to film again.
No, there's something incredibly like spooky about the legacy of Vanderpump Rules as it stands right now.
Yeah.
Because like I feel in a lot of ways it really set the bar for like unbelievable reality television, and the people became so famous, and it self-imploded a little bit, because so much of why the show was so great is because these were like struggling actors and models, and then over the course of a few years they're best-selling authors, they have successful companies, and it's like it just changed the balance of the show, not in a good way. And the show was still good, but it was never as good as it was when they were like struggling models, like doing photo shoots on rooftops and like fighting in between takes. It'll never be that. So it's like part of me wants to just say like let's just let it die.
That I feel the same way. Like I feel like they won't, because
no, networks don't know how to let things go.
No, and they don't know how to like say no to something that's good, and like where, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's still an audience, but I don't know. I'm just like...
It just, the whole thing feels tainted now. It's like weird. After Stassi and the whole drama, like, it just feels like I don't really want to watch it.
No, and like the 2.0 cast, like the freshmen that came in last season, like nobody was really interested in them. So
right.
All the seniors are gone. We're stuck with this group of people that we didn't care about really when you introduced them to us. So maybe let's let bygones be bygones.
I know, but it just like makes you think like about all the people who like... Not the people who came on this season, but the people who've been on for a while, who's like their life is the show, like their
James.
Yeah, like what are they gonna do?
They're influencers now,
I guess. Yeah,
just what like have crazy. They been doing?
Right, for like this year.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, I would be surprised if they were all in a little bit of a way, like, struggling financially, because the show, for the people who've been on for a while, pays very well.
Yeah. Okay, well, our fifth and final story, Miley Cyrus asks fan on a date in a TikTok comment.
This is so messy. Did you see the follow-up?
No.
Oh, my God.
I saw the trend of Miley, this is, like, what has reached the grandparents, that Miley is, like, commenting on people's things.
Yeah, there's, like, a trend on TikTok. If you use one of her songs from her new album and your video goes viral, you, in the video, you can say, like, if Miley comments, like, I'll tattoo my face. And then, like, Miley comments.
Or, like, if Miley comments, we will get married.
Right.
And, like, someone asked Miley to comment, and she said, how about the time and place of our first date?
Because, like, the girl was really pretty.
Yeah, like, so, like, asking her out. What happened from there?
So then some other girl duetted the original girl's video and was like, LOL, when this girl goes viral with Miley Cyrus, when she's the one that your man cheated on you with. Like, so she, this girl knows her personally, and now she's, like, airing her dirty laundry. Apparently, this second girl's boyfriend cheated on her with the first girl. And then, like, Miley deleted her comment on the girl's video. I'm like, Miley, girl, why are you getting involved? Like, just leave it alone. Like, it was just so honestly, like, lame of Miley.
That's,
like,
really lame.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then this, the first girl had to make a video, like, so there's a lot of people talking about me.
Oh,
like,
my God, stop.
It was so fucking messy,
like,
and stupid.
Like, the whole thing, like, the cycle of implosion was, like, 24 hours.
It was so fast. Like, literally, in the same day, I saw the first girl's video, the second girl's video, and then the first girl's apology, like, for, like, addressing what's happening.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
That's just really, I feel like, indicative of, like, the culture we're living in right now. Like, mm-hmm. You can't get a morsel of popularity or fame without, like, someone trying to bring you down.
100%.
And not that, even if this girl did, let's say she cheated on,
with, no, she, man, was the, yeah, the other woman.
Let's say that's true. Like, does that make her an evil person? Like, who?
It's her personal business.
Yeah, it's her personal business. And, like,
we don't
honestly
know the circumstances. Maybe she didn't know.
And also, like, who cares?
Oh, my God. That's so,
like, that's how nitpicky we're getting with our influencers.
Wow, that's, like, loser on loser.
I'm including Miley in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no. Because it's losery that girl, like, had to, like, call out this girl who was having a moment for
and
herself.
And cloud chase her coattails.
Right, cloud chase her. It was losery that Miley deleted her comment. What? Because she...
It's like, Miley, you're a celebrity. You're not supposed to know this stuff. Like, just...
Like, I just... It's too involved. And that's how these things go south so fast. Because I'm sure, like, Miley's team was like, yes, PR moment. Like, comment on everything. Name this baby. Like, et cetera. And now it's like, I'm involved in personal messes.
No, honestly, I think this whole, like, Miley commenting on TikTok thing is, like, a little thirsty.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, just one or two. Like, I've literally seen, like, 15.
Yeah.
She told this girl to name her baby California, another girl to cut her mullet. Like, there was a lot.
Yeah. No, she's everywhere right now.
Well, she's doing the most for...
her new album.
Yes, but I do have to say, when I say something negative, I also have to say something positive. That song Prisoner is excellent with Dua Lipa.
Oh, I haven't really listened yet, but I've heard, like, snippets of the album, and it sounds amazing.
Yes, I agree. Okay. And I think, you know, I don't want to jinx it, but I think Miley might be the real Miley.
Oh, I think it's definitely the Miley of right now.
Of right now, for sure. Okay, the meat of what we got, what I came here to do today is talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta and Potomac. Which one do you want to do first?
I watch Atlanta first, but I kind of feel like Potomac, I'm bursting with things.
Oh,
to
I
say.
Was really going to say Atlanta
okay,
first.
Okay, fine.
Because, I mean, it was the opening episode, so there wasn't, like, a lot going on.
Yeah, we're just, like, catching up with everyone, and I feel like watching them, like, sort of, I guess, coming out of quarantine, because it's August.
Yes, it started in June.
No, it started in June?
When they're sitting down for dinner in Cynthia Bailey's driveway, it's June 3rd.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I like that we skipped the coronavirus.
And they showed us the interviews. Yes, but, like, the women talking about, like, the weight that they gained in quarantine, like,
loved.
Honestly was so...
Relatable,
but, like, I just... No one's been talking about that yet. Like, obviously, there's so many, like, mental health side effects from, like, being at home and staying at home and, like, being, like, you know, not having the socializing yep. the way that we're used to. But, like, I have gained so much weight, and, like, it makes me so depressed. And, like, watching Kenya and Cynthia talk about it, like, I felt so much less alone.
I felt so seen. I couldn't agree more. And I feel like people, I agreed, like, that really, like, for me, I always love the women of Atlanta, but... For me, like, that particular scene and them just, like, talking so openly about it, like not even, like, it was a big deal. Like, all right, I'm on it. I'll lose it. Whatever. Like, I don't know. There was something, like, refreshing about it.
Yeah, there was something very refreshing about it.
So I had a few thoughts from the first episode. The first is that, like, Always and Forever, like, honestly, Portia Williams is the queen of this franchise, and I have known it for a while, and I feel like now everyone else is starting to realize it, and I just am glad respect is being put on her name. Two, I just, like, really can't believe that after all this time, we're down to only five Atlanta housewives, that Marlo Hampton is still not a fucking housewife, and she's in the first scene of the entire show, and she's being the funniest. Like,
the funniest.
She must not want it.
I don't know. That's so crazy. And it's like when you see the cast photo in the opening credits, there's so few. And we have a perfectly great housewife.
She's here, ready, friends with everyone. Like, where is she?
I don't know. That is so curious.
I think it every season. But it's
now, like, it's a glaring.
Yes, exactly. I've always thought, like, you know what? She stirs the pot so much. She deserves, like, a platform to be able to, like, speak her side of things. Like, she's always just coming in and appearing to be, like, the bone carrier. And she is. But, like, maybe she has more to say.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's almost, like, so obvious that I think that maybe she just doesn't want it.
I can't imagine that that's the case.
No, I know. I can't imagine anyone not wanting to be, like.
Right.
Especially someone who's on it so frequently.
Yeah, who, like, doesn't mind filming.
Comes to most reunions, like. It's really weird.
Yeah, now it's weird.
I was also catching up on episodes before, and I just, like, forgot so much that had happened, and, like, how it's so crazy how, like, the Real Housewives of Atlanta have, like, reinvented themselves individually, like, so many times. When they were doing flashbacks to Peter and Cynthia's wedding, I was like, who is this woman?
No, I know.
She's just, like, a completely different person. Oh, but she was being so funny when her tit kept popping out. Like, that was just, like, they're just so... They're so different from all the other housewives. Like, they're just so calm.
No, they're just natural and funny and, like, fun and having a good time and having a laugh.
And I feel like I never feel like so many of them are, like, clawing their way to, like, stay on the show. Like, they're all just very certain of themselves.
Natural, like, doing their own thing and it just is genuinely entertaining.
Yeah. I thought the way they, like, integrated the, like, what's going on in the world at the time, because, like, Portia was really, like, everywhere when in June when George Floyd was murdered, and I feel like they're doing a really good job of, like, blending, like, life going back to normal, but then also, like, Portia getting arrested.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
It was the way that they did. I feel like they really captured the moment of June between Black Lives Matter and quarantine and coming out of quarantine and trying to, like, have a lunch in your driveway with your friends, but, like, not really sure how to do that.
Right.
And, like, Marlo with the tape measure is not something I've seen yet from any of my friends, but it was hysterical.
No, she was being really funny. And, like, honestly, I was just, when Candy pulled up, I'm like, okay, Candy and Cynthia are having lunch. And then when Marlo pulled up, I'm like, I was almost, like, mad. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, make this woman a housewife. Give us one of each.
Yeah.
Nothing else happened in the episode. It was just,
It was entertaining. Like, it was really good. Also, I just, like,
have Kenya.
Such a soft spot in my heart for Kenya. Like,
that's
I
crazy.
Have always, I know, and
that's
I know I've
crazy.
I know I've missed a lot of seasons. So, like, whatever bad things she has done, like, I haven't seen them. And I just remember, like, when I used to watch, I, like, really liked Kenya, and I'm watching again, and I really like Kenya.
That's just so crazy to me, because I actually,
you didn't feel for her, like, in last night's episode.
No, and that's what's so crazy, because it's like, even people I don't like on Housewives, like, when they're going through stuff, like, I always, like, have empathy for them. And I have felt, and I've always felt this way, that, like, Kenya Moore is, like, not who she appears to be. Like, I feel like she's the fakest person. And it's like, I feel like everything she's put out on television, like, none of it is true. And, like, when she goes home, I really feel like she takes off this mask, and, like, I just don't believe anything she says.
You don't think that last night's episode, like, she was being real? Like, I feel like this, the way she's feeling right now is the result of 3 years of fakeness and, like, the fake man.
Maybe.
And, you know,
maybe.
It all, like, for every up, you have to deal with the down. And so when you marry, like, someone, I guess he was, like, a mystery man sort of stranger.
He was literally like an actor.
Right. And now you deal with the consequences. And I feel like that's her being real.
I guess. Just something about, like, the way that she's acted over the last few years and just treated everyone so poorly. Like, I don't have any space in my heart to, like, give her empathy. I know it sounds terrible. She's one of the housewives, like, who I just can't stand.
Got it.
Because she has been so... And every time
does
she...
Does anybody else... Do people like her?
I think that it's... People are divided on Kenya, but, like, I think, like, I cannot, like, get on board with her.
Okay.
And every time she does something, like, every season she does something that's, like, just so mean. And I'm like, oh, nail in the coffin. But it's like, no, the one last season was a nail in the coffin. Like, last season when she barged into Marlo's wig party and, like, with her marching band and bringing her own products, like, I was done with her. And
yeah,
it's like, there was something before that.
Yeah. Okay.
And well, her and Portia don't get along. And I feel like Portia is a very good judge of character. And like, I just go with, I go where Portia goes.
I can understand that. It'll be an interesting season. Let's see if I still feel this way.
Yeah. But honestly, the real star of last night on Bravo was The Real Housewives of Potomac, hour and 15 minute finale.
Yeah.
And we're going to recap it. And that recap is brought to you by Crate Joy. You all know what a subscription box is. And in fact, you probably have a favorite meal kit or pet box. I actually subscribe to quite a few boxes. But Crate Joy is everything you need in your life because it is the world's first and only subscription box marketplace. You can shop over 1,000 unique boxes and gifts for just about anything you can imagine. Even better is you choose a subscription length so you're not locked into anything. They have subscription boxes for men, women, and kids, any special people in your life. Crate Joy makes the perfect holiday gift. If you have a creative kid, a brand new mom, a veteran grill master, or a budding mixologist on your Christmas list, a coffee aficionado, families at home, there's a crate for each of them, and so much more. This year, we're all looking for creative ways to show loved ones we care and spread much-needed cheer. With Crate Joy, you'll show you care with personalized gifts that keep giving long after the holidays are done. On Crate Joy, you guys can find categories that you'll love, like escape room and mystery boxes for adventure at home, boxes to boost each version of you with self-care and personal growth, cool cocktail kits and snacks for your next virtual happy hour, monthly book clubs in a box for every reader, and top DIY and craft kits for crafters of all ages. I feel like the idea of gifting someone with a subscription box is so nice because it's not just like one box. You get a gift every month.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. And it's also, these ideas are so creative that they come off as extremely thoughtful.
Yes. I remember... like a few years ago, Margot's friends for her birthday got her like a beauty subscription box for her birthday. And every month she was like getting new makeup. And I just remember thinking like how thoughtful that was. And how it's really just like a unique idea that many people are not going to have. So if you want to have a unique, fabulous gift for the people in your life, check out Crate Joy. And there's still time to find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. You can shop thousands of subscription boxes all in one place and get 30% off your first box when you sign up at cratejoy.com/toast. Again, that's CRATEJOY.com/toast. That's right. Sign up today at cratejoy.com/toast to get 30% off your first box and shop Crate Joy's holiday specials. Crate Joy, get joy delivered right to your door.
That's an amazing gift idea. I need to get my gifts in check. Like, I really want to be a good gift giver this year because it's just been like a rough one, you know?
For everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Real Housewives of Potomac finale. We also got a sneak peek at the reunion where everyone just looks like unbelievable. And I have to say, before we dive into the drama, I've been very hard on the Real Housewives of Potomac this season for their atrocious outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought everyone, with the exception of Ashley Darby, looked very good at this party.
I thought Ashley looked adorable.
She looked like a figure skater. I did not like that dress.
Oh my God, she's so cute. Stop.
I love her. I did not like the dress. I thought Wendy, who was really like lagging in outfits, looked awesome.
Yep.
Robin looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Giselle even looked good. For Giselle, you know, it was good.
I don't remember her outfit, just like her headband hair situation.
She was wearing just like a white blouse and like sparkly silver pants.
Okay, I remember the pants.
It was fine. Like, it was very good. Karen Huger, always looks good. I don't include her in the group of women who don't know how to dress. And actually, Candace always does like
Candace look decent, and she looked super cute,
very cute in that outfit.
Yeah, agreed.
So it was a really bizarre evening. The whole episode really consisted around this party where we knew like Juan was gonna propose, but then they like tried to make us think for a second that he wasn't.
Yeah.
But Michael Darby knows something.
Michael Darby knows something. I look forward to finding out what that is. Maybe that will be at the reunion.
But Michael Darby like was being so fucking two-faced, like talking shit with Giselle and Ashley about like something he knows, like alluding to it, and then going and like taking shots with Juan and being like, bachelor party in Vegas.
Okay, no, Michael Darby, like, taking out the last 15 minutes, which we'll get to, like up until the point where things went sideways and he was in the hallway, he was being so funny when he was like, bachelor party in Vegas, no cameras. I was actually cracking up hysterical because I think him and Juan like are really such good friends. And I love to see when house husbands like have genuine friendships. So, and then also I thought Michael Darby was like really, I mean, as a Monique defender, I had to applaud the way that he handled the Chris situation because Chris put his hands on him and Michael Darby just like they just
used Michael Darby did not touch him back and just like prove the point
of what they were doing to Monique,
right?
Which as a Monique stan, I was grateful for. Then everything turned. I don't know what happened in that hallway
with the production room. That was really bad.
But that was really bad.
I don't know what was going on, and I felt so bad for Ashley. Like nothing she was saying was getting through to Michael. He was just like so drunk and so angry. And,
I think he was like so drunk. And you know how like you can't even have an argument with someone who's drunk, like let alone try to reason with someone. So I just felt like there was nothing that any. I don't know what he did in the hallway, but he was just like not he was beyond reason.
He was so incoherent. Yeah. But I really felt for Ashley She literally walked out of that room and saw the cameraman like filming that. And like, no, like when you're in that production room, I guess you think that like the footage is not being used. That's like a behind the scenes thing. And when she turned the corner coming out of the room and the camera was like right there at her, like her life flashed in front of her eyes.
Right. But then also like we have no choice but to stand because she's literally the most amazing housewife. And like she'll even like turn on her husband. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, not that she turned on him, but like some women like would
defend
or like try and smooth it over and be like, sweetie. And she's just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. No, she was being iconic. Like, I really love her. And I think what, even though that fight with Michael and Chris was messy, I think it really proved an important point. Mm-hmm. And Ashley said it so well. It's like that you, first of all, you came at Monique the exact same way. So it's like, there's now been two fights and Candace is involved and her family are involved in both of them. Like, maybe you're not like the victim you're pretending to be.
Right. Also, when Candace starts screaming at Michael, like, you want to come for me? Like, again, like, you just got into a fight because that was started because it was like dragging.
You're provoking.
Right. And so, but you were so upset by what had happened, yet the situation
presents. You're so traumatized. You've post-its all over your house, but you literally do it again.
But the situation presents itself again and you behave in the exact same way.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, any sympathy I had for Candace is like so gone because she's just,
oh, I had no sympathy to begin with.
She's really being like such a victim. And it's like, you have to own your part.
You
like,
can't be the victim and then also be provoking people.
The thing is, she had a little ground to stand on as the victim because she lost the fight. Like physically, like Monique like had her in like in her grasp. Yeah. But at the same time, like when you watch the footage, like they are both equally as guilty for starting that fight. You just think that Monique is the aggressor because Monique won.
Right.
Physically.
Right. The way the
episode. And the courts agreed.
Right. The way the episode ended with how it went down in court and Monique laughing was just. And what's so crazy is like.
Oh, and Candace saying
that. It was because the lawyer was so messy.
No. Candace saying that like the courts decided to drop the charges because they just thought of it as like reality TV mess. No, that's but not also how the judicial system works.
She said because of Monique and all of the things that she was putting out and her messy lawyers, the courts didn't want to deal with it. Like,
that's just not how it works.
That's just not how the courts work. We're like, this is too messy for us. We're not dealing with it. And second of all, it's like, okay, so it sounds like she has an amazing legal team who got her out of a situation that you put her in. Like, you're mad at Monique for having lawyers who are good at their
defending her.
Like,
no, it was the whole, Candace is so irrational.
Someone needs to speak to her and let her know, like, the way that if you want to sue someone,
They are going to defend themselves.
Which you have every right to. Someone has every right to defend themselves, including suing you if needed.
Okay, also, I, like, Robin, I just can't with.
Can't.
Because honestly, like, her having Candace perform at her party was, like, really losery behavior.
Yeah.
Because up until this season, like, they weren't even friends. I feel like the women are really trying to, like, make a group of themselves, not including Monique, so that, like, Bravo has no choice but to let go of Monique.
Right, but it's not working. It's just Giselle, Robin, Wendy. Candace, and Wendy, and no thanks.
And by the way, so it's, like, Candace and Robin were never even friends. So, like, the idea of Candace performing at Robin's holiday party makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, they're trying to like stand strong, but it's like, no, this group is weak as hell. Also, I think the group thinks they're made stronger by Giselle's presence because like she is a beloved housewife, but not in this way.
No, she's so wrong on this. And even the way she's coming so hard for Karen. Okay, what am I misunderstanding? Karen told Monique to come at 4. Then she told Candace to come at 5:15 and then 6. How is she trying to ambush them?
No, that is so crazy. And watching Giselle describe the situation to Charisse, like what she believes happened when she was like, oh, she was trying to ambush Candace with Monique. And it's like, no, she wasn't. And also, because this is a legal situation, Karen would never do that. Like to have two people in the same room who are actively engaged in lawsuits against each other. Like she would not. And she did not.
Do you think
that also them like making it seem like her flight, she was lying about her flight being delayed and they're like, she's not coming because she doesn't want to handle the truth. And then she came and it's like, oh, like they don't want her there either. It's like she really can do nothing.
No, I totally agree. Like literally, she literally can't breathe that being like, you're lying. You're just trying to dodge.
Yeah.
They were bothering me so much. The core group, 4 of them. Like they were bothering me so much. Once again, Miss Karen Huger getting absolutely no respect. And it was just hard to watch.
It's hard to watch. But then when right before the fight broke out, it was really becoming the 4 against
Karen.
Ashley and Karen when we were really starting to see like the sides. And I really am excited for the reunion because I really hope that the women, those 4 women have to answer for the fact that nobody agrees with them.
Yeah.
At least nobody that I've seen.
Yeah. Do you think that the reunion is the first time Candace and Monique have seen each other? For sure, right?
For sure.
Since that
Even
night.
Even though it's been a full calendar year, which is crazy. And I also did love watching, like, a Christmas theme party, like, this time of year.
Yes, it was very interesting.
Yeah, but, like, obviously everything was on delay. And in general, I don't want to have to wait a year for my housewives. But I just will say, like, it was a nice touch.
Yes, I agreed. It was nice to see, like, the holiday season during the holiday season.
Yes, and I guess, like, we should discuss the fact that Robin did get engaged. But I just think Karen
is
eviscerated her with her one line.
No, Karen is.
I actually wrote it down because I thought it was so iconic. I sent
she
it to
is
you.
A woman.
She doesn't waste a word.
Yeah, and it's just like everything that comes out of her mouth is just so perfectly said.
She said that she would have liked to have seen Robin get engaged.
Of course.
She said this is a moment for Robin. Robin doesn't get a lot of moments.
I was screaming in my bed like. It was. It's so true. Like, I just think the way she said it, it was just so profound and so wise and so well said.
It started out as, like, a really nice thing. No, I would have loved to see this moment of her getting engaged because she doesn't get a lot of moments.
No, and it's so true. Like, I knew exactly what she meant, you know?
No, like, 100%.
I just love Karen. Like, it's so crazy. This has really been a very transformative season for me, and I think for a lot of people, where it's like the way I felt about certain housewives. In Potomac for a while, I really just like liked everyone and never took like a hard side. Like, I feel like in New York and other franchises, like I have a hard line and I just like ride for people. But in Potomac, I just really liked everyone and I saw everyone's side. And I just feel like this year there's like such a stark difference that it's like between wrong and right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just don't land with this group.
Yeah, no, not at all. And if the fight had happened and everyone hadn't gone so hard against Monique, like, I would have been more critical of Monique, you know?
Yeah.
But now it feels like the way that they're defending Candace as if she did nothing wrong and that Monique is, like, this horrible person, when I don't think that she is. Like, I feel compelled to defend her at all costs.
Yeah, and that's what I agree. And now I think I've just landed. And I just think the way at the end of the episode where they had Monique and Candace both talking about, like, the court situation, like, the way that they both are, like, spoke speaks volumes about each of them.
Yeah.
And we have no choice but to stand. And I just feel like Candace really, like, even beyond this fight, like, she just does not fit in with this group. Like,
I just can't relate to her. Even at the end when they were, like, still talking about their family that they're going to have, like, not in any sort of real way. And then, but she's waiting till after fall because she doesn't want to have an Aquarius because her mom's, like, I cannot relate.
Yeah, it's just, like, so childish.
So childish. And because her mom's an Aquarius, like, that's so fucking rude.
And this whole episode, you're literally talking about how your mom has been there for you so much that, like, it actually makes you want to have kids because you want to be there for someone in the way that your mom was there for you. I actually thought that was very sweet.
Right, and then to turn around and be like, but she doesn't want a baby like her mom.
No, like no matter like how tumultuous like your relationship is, like talking like mean things about your mom on TV who like literally bought you a house, like let's not.
Also, I just think the idea of revolving childbirth around horoscopes, no offense to anyone who's doing it, is insane.
That's insane.
Like it's insane.
And it's like it's already like so hard to get pregnant. It's like now we're
it's a miracle no matter yeah. what.
No, that's crazy.
It comes in.
That's crazy. Like,
yeah,
I do believe there's something to horoscopes. Like, I'm not saying I'm not a skeptic.
Yeah, like it's interesting stuff. But
like my God,
to literally create or not create life because of it.
I hope they were joking.
I don't know.
I actually love that. Like throughout Housewives history, in every franchise, at every finale, they still do that like freeze frame thing with the message. It like it's like my favorite part, and it's like so sweet. I always like almost cry. Like I love it.
Yeah, it's super cute.
It was a good season. I mean, reunion is going to be so good.
It was a really good season. And I'm glad we got out of the phase of next week looks really good, even though
next week does look really good. And The Binder.
The Binder. I mean, I just hope that the justice that needs to be delivered for Monique, like, is thoroughly delivered.
Me too.
That there's no, like, question marks, ifs, ands, or buts.
No, like, I'm really, like, I'm putting a lot of pressure on this reunion to undo all that was done. And, like, if I don't get what I want, like, I'll be upset.
Yeah.
And I also love when the men come out.
I also think we're going to need, like, in order for the justice, even if it is served at the reunion, in order for it to be, like, fully served, we're going to need a cast change up.
Yeah.
And I would like to call for the removal of two people.
Candace and Wendy?
No. Candace and Robin.
I mean,
and mostly because even though, like, I'm fine with Robin, I think she's fine and she has some funny moments. Like, she's become this sort of, like, crutch for Giselle.
Yes.
And Giselle just has, like, power in numbers because she always knows that Robin's will on have her side. And I think Robin is uninteresting because of it, because she doesn't, like, form her own opinion. She just takes what Giselle has to say. And I don't think she's contributing really anything in that way.
Also, I'm so glad you brought up Robin because I had this thought the whole episode. I'm, like, almost 100% sure that production paid for this party.
because it was like nice.
Because it was open bar and they like kept saying like open bar. And it's just like this season has been like a lot of Robin's financial issues.
Yeah.
And that was such a nice party. Like there's no way that party costs less with open bar than like $20,000. Like,
yeah,
it was really expensive.
Does production usually pay for the parties that the women host?
No, but I've started to notice because like they need a nice event at the end of the episode. Yeah. And I really feel like Bravo paid for Sonia's bingo drag party the end of this New York season because it too was like a very expensive party. And I just got the vibe that it was like paid for by production. Like that was just the vibe that I got. And I got that vibe with Robin's party too.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
And they just kept like bragging about open bar. I was glad for
it. It actually looked like a fun party.
And everyone got really dressed up.
Yeah. And there were so many people there because Robin and Juan actually invited their friends and family because they were getting engaged. And so it wasn't just like eight women in a room fighting.
Yeah. And I actually thought the way that like everyone reacted, like screaming when Robin and Juan got engaged was very sweet.
Oh my God. It was hilarious.
Yeah, like literally running up to her when it wasn't even over yet. It was funny. It's honestly like a really nice way to get engaged.
Yes, I agree.
And you know, I'm happy for Robin that she had that moment because she doesn't have a lot of moments.
No, she doesn't.
So I'm very much looking forward to next week. And hopefully Atlanta starts to pick up. It's our first season without NeNe Leakes. And I literally forgot. Like, I didn't even realize like that there was anything different.
Yeah, the cast is so small, but it doesn't, since their personalities are so big, like it really doesn't feel that small. And we're going to get a new housewife.
Yes.
That we're going to be introduced to. So last night was really four women plus Marlo.
Yeah. Even though, like I said, I was watching old episodes leading up to the season premiere. And like NeNe is, she's just like, she's undeniably like a force. Like, and I do think that moving forward, like we will feel her absence. I didn't feel it last night because the season before this and maybe the one before that, she wasn't even on the first episode because she was fighting with all the women. So it's like her not being in an episode isn't uncommon anymore, but her not being in the season, like I do feel like we will miss her energy. Like she really is everything of the sort, like memeable, gifable, like she is that. And I do think there will be an absence.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's all we got. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
No, that's all she wrote. Gotta get home to Bruno Sweets. And new episode of The Redheads drops on Thursday. We just recorded it. It is honestly it's such a good one. Plus, we did our like year-end recap of all the books that we read this year for The Redheads, which were our favorites. And we all shared what books we read on our own that were our favorites of this year. So if you're just looking for good book recommendations to talk about the year in books, also 2020 being the year of The Redheads, it's like what everyone's saying. head over to The Redheads. And also the book we read this month is like it's an extremely good book and well written and smart, and then you get to listen to the episode, so make sure to do that.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us on The Morning Toast, leave me five stars. We've got a beautiful setting. It's part we are. We hope you have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.